Now I lost my place. Ha! Okay. Oh, thank you, Will. At least I made it here. I don't care how many times I do this, it's still nerve-wracking. Even though God gave me the message to bring, it's not, I tell you what, I got to give pastors a whole lot of credit because it's not fun being up here doing this. Am I on? Cool. I was hoping I wasn't, I can go home. But I tell you what, it's a long, for me, it was 2 weeks preparation. I prayed and prayed and prayed about it, and nothing was coming. While I worked that night, Shannon, I get home at 2:30 in the morning. I had to work the next day, tighten tire, had an emergency repair. I had to run my crane out there to work all day Sunday. I thought, great, I'll get 3 hours sleep. So I got home, got in bed at 2:30. My mind would not slow down and shut up, and it kept going, going, going. 3 o'clock in the morning, I finally calmed down enough. It's like, all right, maybe I can get 2.5 hours sleep. That's when God decided to give me the message. So I spent the next half hour mentally taking notes, and I figured, I'm not going to be able to do this. I got up, went in my office, and started writing everything down. Because, and Scott even mentioned this morning, we were talking about it, it's like, God gives you things at certain times that you can't always remember. You're maybe in the middle of driving down the road. You may be trying to sleep. You got to get up. And like Scott said, he needs to start putting a notepad in his pocket. So when the Lord speaks, it's like, okay, Lord, go for it. So it's, yank. There. Ooh. Cord kind of stretches. Hello, Mason. I missed you. I was gone for a couple weeks, and he was gone for a couple weeks. We weren't quite coordinating together here. Sermon's called Listen. How many of us actually listen? I mean, really, truly listen. This is a skill that God has given us. Hopefully, we listen when people talk to us, such as at work, at school, at church, and even at home. If not, we should. We can learn so many things by talking to our family and friends. Some people like me are still learning this skill. I had a good friend tell me once that God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth, so we need to listen twice as hard as what we talk. Me personally, I have a problem with that because I talk a lot. So for me, I'm still learning to shut my mouth sometimes. Still learning, T. Heard that giggle back there in the back. So it's a never-ending skill trying to learn and trying to hone. There are many people in the Bible who also listen to God, many who listened good, and some who tried to run away from God, such as Jonah. The story of Jonah is an interesting one. How did he ever think he was going to be able to hide from God? The word of the Lord, Jonah 1:1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. The Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out in his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten up the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of this, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? And what is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made sea and the land. This terrified them, and they asked, What have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, What should we do to you to make the sea calm down? Pick me up and throw me in, he says, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that the great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah, threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made their own vows to him. When he was thrown overboard, God provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah. It doesn't say what kind of fish it is, but I'm assuming it's a whale. Whale's a pretty good-sized fish, and it just made sense to me. Could you imagine, and here's Jonah floating around the sea, trying to stay afloat, and he looks up and sees this large fish coming at him. Things were really bad, but things are going really bad worse, because this huge fish is about ready to swallow him up. So after the fish swallowed him, he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. I could not imagine how gross it would be to be inside of a belly of a fish. Even though he was trying to run away from God, God was still protecting him. Jonah, from inside the fish, started praying to God. It doesn't say how long it took him to come to this decision, but he prayed, thanking him for his protection and keeping him safe. God then commanded the fish to vomit Jonah onto dry land. Jonah must have been a real sight for being inside this fish for that entire time, with all the acids and all the other wonderful stuff that's in stomachs, and to get vomited up on the beach. And where did he get vomited up on the beach at? Right where he was supposed to be. In chapter 3, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh for the second time. This time, Jonah listened and went and gave them the message that God gave him. In many cases, we also don't listen, or we don't take the time to listen. I've had times when I didn't listen very well, and like I said, I'm still trying to improve on that, as each and every one of us should be. I've had one time when I did not act upon what God was telling me to do, and I deeply regret it today, and I've shared with our small group already, I think, and I had a friend of mine that I was working with, and God kept telling me to talk to him about his life and the saving grace of Christ. Well, in my own way, I didn't want to push him too hard, so I didn't want to push him away. So in my sweet little peaceful time, I was doing my own thing. I thought things were going great until he was killed in a truck wreck. That's something today, to this day, still bothers me. He may be in hell because of me. All we can do is pick up from that point and try to change, to become better people, to be, when Christ puts something upon your heart through the Holy Spirit to do something, there's probably a pretty good reason for it. So we need to follow through and actually do that. I'm trying my best at this point, because I don't want to think that I'm the one responsible, that I could have changed him. God doesn't always talk to us in an, you know, in an audible voice. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Mine, most of the time, speaks to my heart on what is good and what is bad. He sometimes shows me something that it's a peace upon my heart that what he's trying to show me. I've had other times when God has said, someone call me just to talk, or something, you know, something this friend may, you know, may bring up is what I'm going through at that time. Other times it comes to me when I'm reading my Bible. He shows me things that I need to do, or put something upon my heart, someone put them by my heart to talk to. I've already called someone to, you know, that God put upon my heart, and later on found out that they were going through some major problems at that time, or trouble, or something was going on in, the, you know, in their life, and just that phone call representing Christ to them was all that they really needed. The important thing is that we be willing to act and listen upon what God is trying to show us. It's all in God's timing, not ours. He has the perfect plan, but sometimes our personal agenda gets in the way. There's another man in the Bible that God spoke to. His name is Moses. Moses did not try to run away from God, as Jonah had. Instead, he tried to debate with God. The angel of God appeared to Moses in flames of fire from a bush. Moses observed that the fire, that while the bush was on fire, it was not being consumed. God called out to Moses twice. When Moses moved closer, he was warned not to, for he was standing on holy ground and in the presence of God. The deity identified himself as the God of your father and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hearing this, Moses quickly covered his face, for he knew that it meant death to look upon God. God promised to bring his people out of Egypt and bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey. After God spoke to Moses, he pled that his lack of understanding was bad. Exodus 3:11 and 12. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? He also cited ignorance. Exodus 3:13 through 22. He said, If I were asked, I would not be able to tell the Israelites the name of the God who was sending me. God answered this objection by telling Moses his name, I am. Moses then complained that his lack of credentials. Exodus 4:1 through 9. Moses feared that the people would not believe his claims regarding this encounter. He then called his lack of ability. Exodus 4:10 through 12. Moses described himself as slow of speech and tongue. He then pled to God to send someone else. Exodus 4:13 through 17. This unwillingness to serve angered the Lord. So far, running away from God has not worked, or arguing with God hasn't worked. The story goes on with Moses that he finally gave in, did his job, went to Pharaoh, and yes, he had a struggling time, but God was there with him, you know, the entire time, and brought them out of Egypt. There's yet another man in the Bible whom God spoke to. His name was Noah. And this in Genesis 6. 5 through 22. The Lord saw how a great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth. Men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have even made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people of the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filling with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch, inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark to make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all the life under the heavens, every creature that has breath of life in it. Everyone on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons, and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of every living creature, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are in the every kind of food that will be eaten and stored up as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. So there are good people in the Bible that actually do listen. So there's still hope for us. So yes, Noah did what God asked of him. But you have to remember, when God was telling him he was going to send a flood, it was kind of hard for him to explain to people because it had never rained previously to this. So when he's telling, I can almost imagine him telling people, there's going to be this huge flood. Everything's going to be covered with water. People probably couldn't even grasp the idea because it had never rained. It's like trying to tell somebody that those walls are going to get up and move, and people are going to go, yeah, right, okay, what, you know, whatever. Well, they thought he was a nutcase. Noah believed God's warning, and by faith began the construction project. To me, growing up, you always see this little picture of this ark. So you always see this really, really bitty ark, and giraffes and elephants hanging out the sides of it. Well, stop and think about the size of that ark. It's like a mini aircraft carrier. That's I always thought that's the first Navy's aircraft carrier. But instead of carrying jets or helicopters, they carried animals. But it's pretty good size, 450 feet long. That's a pretty good size ship. And that's a pretty good task to take on. And believe, I guess, enough in God to say, yeah, this is what he really wants me to to do. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his houses. By the way, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith, Hebrews 11:7. Very likely, Noah was ridiculed by his neighbors and friends. His project was no doubt viewed as an act of stupidity. The building of an ark required immense labor, patient endurance, and heroic self-sacrifice. Yet through all the years of his labor, Noah accepted his assignment in the spirit of meek and unquestioning faith. I guess maybe we could all learn from that, especially me. I know that if God tells you to do something, there's a reason for it. So I guess my suggestion to all the would be, slow down and listen. Remember, two ears, one mouth. He may put something on your heart, someone on your heart to call. It may be God telling you to help someone, or maybe telling you to serve in a certain part of your church. We've had several people in the past that felt God telling them to serve on council, to become involved with the youth, to join the praise team. We've had several people just wanting to be a part of this church. And we have 6 new members coming on to our church on board here very soon, again, which is awesome. And they want to be a part of this church also. They want to be be involved in our church. Whatever it is, listen and act upon it. Like me, you don't want to forever regret not doing what you're supposed to do. If God puts something or someone on your heart, there's a good reason for it. You may be the only Jesus that someone may see. So I guess my challenge is, again, listen. Listen to what God is trying to tell you. Listen to what God is trying to show you in a certain way. Someone's eternity may depend on it. Let's close in prayer. Father, we come to you, thanking you, Lord, for all that you do. Thanking you and just giving you the honor, the glory, and the praise that only you can do and you can give. Lord, I just pray that each one of us listen to what you have for us. And just pray, Lord, again, that you continue to speak through us, through your Holy Spirit. Lord, there's so many things that can be done, and we know that you have placed the people in the right places to do certain things. Again, Father, just thank you. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.